Hey guys, Pastor Jürgen here. I'm so glad you're tuning into one of our powerful messages that is guaranteed to absolutely elevate your life to another level. At Awaken, we only want to preach fresh, real, powerful to help you grow stronger in your walk with God, develop your faith so you can take more territory. I'm praying that God blesses you and enriches your soul as you listen to this amazing word from God. God bless you.
This place is filled with the presence of God. You can't help but be down here and worship and feel His presence and know that He loves you, that know He has a purpose and He has dreams for you. And it's all because of our head pastors, Jürgen and Leanne. Like, what they have done is help us walk into the presence of God every day. Every day, no matter what you're going through, there's a place that we can come and step into the presence of God. So let's give them a hand, Pastors Jürgen and Leanne, for this amazing culture that they have built. Thank you. And Pastors Michael and Lisa, you guys are incredible. Like, I don't know how you guys do it. Absolutely incredible. This house, lead with excellence. You make it look easy. Like, you're like, hey, everyone's like, hey, I want to be a leader. Look how easy it is. Because of what, that's just you guys. It's not easy. Thank you. Let's give Pastor Michael and Lisa a hand. Thank you. All right, you guys take your seats. Worship, incredible, beautiful. I don't even have to preach. You guys just did everything for me. But apparently I need to. All right, let's pray. Holy Spirit, we welcome you here today. I thank you for your presence. I thank you for your wisdom. We thank you that today you're showing up with fresh revelation. Allow these to not be my words, but your words. And I thank you, Jesus, and we give you permission to speak to us, to give us wisdom, to give us insight, to do what you want to do today. We hand it all to you in the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Happy Palm Sunday. How's everyone doing? Yeah, so you guys are like 25%. Can I get a little bit more than that? All right, that's better. All right, a little bit better. A little bit better, okay. We're going to continue in our resurrected series on this Palm Sunday. But I want to touch on Palm Sunday a little bit. It was when Jesus came into Jerusalem on a colt, on a donkey. He was fulfilling prophecy. And you know it's an important day when every gospel says it. You know, not all miracles are in every single gospel, but Palm Sunday was. And Jesus even said the rocks would cry out if people didn't, because it was already prophesied in the past that the word of God had gone forth, and this nothing could stop this day from happening. And that's a word for someone here today. The word of God has already gone out for your family members, and the enemy cannot stop what he's about to do. The enemy cannot stop the miracles that have already been prayed. I mean, Lazarus was only mentioned in one book. Like, raising a dead man out of a grave after 4 days was mentioned in one book. But yet, Palm Sunday was in four. So I'm saying, hey, it's kind of a big deal. I'm going to be reading out of John today. Let's turn to John 21, verses 2 through 14. Take a deep breath. We got a lot of verses to get through. Several of the disciples were there: Simon Peter, Thomas, nicknamed the twin, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples. Simon Peter said, I'm going fishing. I get it. Bible doesn't say that. I personally get it. We'll come too, they all said. So they went out in the boat, but they caught nothing all night. I've been there, not fun. At dawn, Jesus was standing on the beach, but his disciples couldn't see who it was. He called out, Fellows, have you caught any fish? No, they replied. Then he said, throw out your net on the right side of the boat and you'll get some. So they did. And they couldn't haul in the net because there were so many fish in it. And then the disciple Jesus loved said to Peter, it's the Lord. When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his tunic, for he had stripped for work, jumped into the water, and headed to the shore. The others stayed with the boat and pulled in the loaded net to the shore, for they were only 100 yards from the shore. When they got there, they found breakfast waiting for them. I mean, I like that, coming home from fishing for breakfast. Hint, hint, Joy. I'm kidding. She always takes care of me. I totally lost track. Okay. And when they got there, they found breakfast waiting for them, fish cooking over the charcoal fire, and some bread. Bring some of the fish you've just caught, Jesus said. So Simon Peter went aboard and dragged the net to shore. There were 153 large fish, and yet the net hadn't torn. Now come and have some breakfast. And Jesus said, I want you to highlight this next verse. Either in your YouVersion app, you can highlight in your Bible, your physical Bible for those going to heaven. I actually don't bring my Bible to church. I use my phone too, so there's grace for me and grace for you. And it says, none of the disciples dared to ask him, who are you? They knew it was the Lord. Then, oh, thank you. Good, now I can preach. Then Jesus served them the bread and the fish. This is the third time that Jesus had appeared to his disciples since he had been raised from the dead. And when reading this, that line, that none dared to ask him, who are you, stood out to me. I kind of got a little, like, obsessed with this. Like, how did, like, they all knew who it was, but then, like, they really didn't know because they wouldn't have mentioned this. Like, why would they even think about asking unless they couldn't recognize him? And then I start going down this line, and I start reading about Mary. Mary thought he was a gardener after spending years with him every night, every day, just following him, right? His disciples thought he was a ghost because he just walked through a door into his presence. Thomas refused to believe who he was until he saw the scars. He didn't call him Lord until he saw. Two of his followers walked with Jesus for hours all the way to a city talking about Jesus with Jesus about what Jesus just did and didn't recognize him until he broke bread with them. Jesus was unrecognizable to those who knew him best. So the title of my message today is Recognizing Resurrection. And I have four areas to help you resurrect or recognize where Jesus is going to resurrect in your life. I like this, guys. You guys are awake today. Point number one, atmosphere. Jesus died to resurrect himself and our atmosphere. Whether it's your thought life, like an internal atmosphere, whether there's fear you've been walking in, whether there's like the anxiety, things that have been on the inside, Jesus can resurrect that atmosphere with peace. Maybe your financial atmosphere is something that you've been like struggling with and you're like, Lord, I need you to show up. Well, he's given you the tools to help you resurrect that, right? Maybe it's your family. Maybe it's your workplace. Maybe there's like a toxic culture at work and you don't know how to change it. Well, Jesus died to resurrect that very place, to resurrect that very atmosphere. He died to bring resurrection power so that you can change the atmospheres around you. But I want to talk about the atmosphere on this boat. You have, I forgot to do the math, but you have six or so disciples. Someone could correct me later. On these boat fishing. And they're not catching anything. And they just, like Jesus had just died. They had all scattered and ran away from Jesus. Not a single one of them stood by his side. They all feel like failures. And now they can't even do the only thing that they knew how to do. Like, I can't even do what I knew how to do before I met Jesus. I can't follow Jesus. Everything I put my hand to is a failure. And they were sitting there and just being like, I'm wasting time. This is a frustration. And I don't know if you guys have felt like that or walked into atmospheres with like heaviness. I know one time about 6-7 years ago, I was at work at General Atomics, and we thought we were going to win this big contract. We put our best foot forward. We created, honestly, the best aircraft of the bunch. And we thought we were going to win so much so that we had like the top 70 engineers into this room waiting to hear the result. And then all of a sudden we got the call and it wasn't what we expected and the atmosphere died. It was heaviness. People started crying. Everything, like it was just a place that you could hear a pin drop. Jesus came to resurrect those atmospheres and he does it with his word. The word he brought to his disciples was cast the net again on the other side. See what I'm about to do. Trust me. In obedience, they took, and the miracle happened. 153 large fish. not because of they needed 153 large fish, but because he is a God of abundance. He is a God that shows up and shows off. He is a God that's going to fill every net, every part of what you have up. He is a God that's going to, a sinking your boat type of abundance type of God. He is a God that's going to show up with his power and show you that, hey, I don't just change your feeling. I change your whole atmosphere. I change your financial position. I change your future. I change every aspect of your life when you come and follow me. So no matter what circumstance you're in, no matter what atmosphere you sit in, one breath from Jesus, one word from Jesus, one revelation from Jesus can completely change it. But Jesus cares more about the internal atmosphere than our external. Sometimes he will change external atmospheres to get our recognition, to get our eyes on him so that he can change the internal. But he wrote life. He wrote the way things work. And he knows that as your soul prospers, the external is going to match. So he wants your inside to prosper. He wants your thought life. He wants your soul to be flowing of heaven, to be flowing of joy, to be flowing of hope. Because when you flow of hope from the inside, what flows out is a changed circumstance. And on that note, that's why Jesus was not poor. Did you guys know that? Jesus wasn't poor. He wasn't. People hear, oh, Jesus was so poor. You know, he was homeless. You know, he's a nomad. No, he was birthed with gold, frankincense, and myrrh. I mean, he was funded in his ministry before he could talk. He had a star put in heaven after him. God was like, hey, you know what? He's my son, and he's going to know the wealth of the inside. He's going to know the inside reflects heaven, and that inside in heaven is going to pour out to his surroundings. He could turn water into wine, so you know he was eating good, right? He could go fishing to pay for his taxes, pulling money out of mouths, right? So you know he could get money anytime he wanted. He always ate with the rich people. He ate with the wealthy. He ate with them because those are the ones he needed to hear the word of God. He enjoyed good food. He wasn't poor. And one of the things that I want you to recognize today is that your situation doesn't have to stay that way. You can ask God and partner with him to change your atmosphere, relying on him, putting your confidence in him. Because when you put your confidence in him, you're putting your trust in him, that changes the inside. And then the outside has to follow. Also, when you're in these seasons, say financially it's a difficult season. We're all experiencing Bidenomics. We see the price of food skyrocketing. We see electricity, gas, everything skyrocketing. And when you're in these situations, things can feel tight. And you can be frustrated and you can be praying, hey, God, I want to see a miracle here. But take a step back and look at your situation through his eyes. Always take a step back and say, God, show me through your point of view. What do you want to do? Because we're living in yesterday's seed that we've sown. And when we change the atmosphere around us, it actually creates an atmosphere for growth, for doing more. So when you plant the seeds and then you sit in an atmosphere for growth, God will create and grow more seed so that what you're living on tomorrow is better than today. It's the word of God. It's all about increasing your capacity, which just so happens to be point number two. So point number two is capacity. Jesus wants to resurrect the capacity in our life. So why did the disciples catch 153 large fish if you weren't here last service? Someone? Anyone shout it out? Wow, that was quiet. Okay. Jared shouted out last service. Thank you for giving everybody else an opportunity. It's because that's all the boats and the net could carry. That's all they could physically handle. Jesus is like, hey, this is your maximum capacity, and I'm going to fill it with everything I have. Because your capacity is your potential. So I'm going to maximize your potential. I'm going to maximize the potential in your life. And it's the same thing as like, why was there 12 leftover baskets when Jesus fed the 5,000? I believe it's because each disciple had one basket that they carried with Jesus. So that's all they could carry. That was their capacity. Why did the widow run out of oil getting poured into jars? Because she ran out of jars. We have a God that will fill your capacity because your capacity determines what happens around you. You have a God that's going to fill your capacity because your capacity determines what the atmosphere around you looks like. This church has a capacity, and the capacity of this church is to impact El Cajon, to impact, go after the homelessness, to go after the drugs, to go after the things that are seen as bad and can cause harm and like just heck in this area. But we have a capacity, and Jesus is going to fill it to transform El Cajon. This is going to be a place of heaven. This is going to be a place that reflects good in heaven and his ways. And he doesn't stop there, because he always wants to increase our capacity. And increasing capacity sounds great. It doesn't always feel great. Yeah, filling up your capacity. Yeah, amen. Fill up my capacity, Lord. Fill up my bank account. Oh, you're going to actually put me in a position so I can earn more? Oh, wait, that's going to be hard. That's going to be difficult. That's going to be challenging. I want to give you an example of a grapevine. Grapes, right? Grapes only grow in the first 25% of a vine. So you have a grapevine, right? Only first, like, if you have a 20-foot grapevine, only the first 5 feet or so produce grapes. The next 3 to 5 feet produce leaves. The last 50% is just a stick. It's a green stick. And so it puts all of its energy into making a useless stick. I mean, that doesn't produce wine. It looks like a snake. If you want good wine, you have to redirect its energy. You have to redirect by cutting off certain things. You have to redirect and say, hey, I know you want to grow over here, but I haven't called you into that. So if you keep that growth up, you're going to derail your potential. You're going to derail your destiny. But when you stand in what I've called you to do, you're going to see the greatest fruit of your life. And your fruit that you're going to produce is going to sustain those around you. It's going to bring something new to the city that you're in. Jesus came to resurrect our capacity. But if left unchecked, our growth can harm us. So we always go back to him and ask him and say, God, prune me. Do in me what you want to do. Let me produce your fruit. So our capacity is not limited. So our potential is not limited. And I have a beautiful wife here on the front row. Joy, it would have been easy for us to stay where we were at. It would have been easy for us to keep our jobs, to stay in that first house that we were in. But God put inside of us a calling to increase our capacity because El Cajon needs us. El Cajon needs the capacity that we're adding in our lives. And we're not going to allow status quo, because status quo can lead to complacency. And complacency is cancer for the soul. I will not allow cancer to grow in my household. I will not let complacency take its rest on us. It's not easy, but it's worth it. And part of this capacity increase is our company. And I have a couple people here from Shane. Shane here is an amazing technician. He's hardworking, but I get to have him in my life now because of choosing to allow capacity. I get to allow Darlene in my life now, this amazing woman who has blessed us so much already in just a short month. So thank you. Because of choosing to allow God to do the difficult, to increase our capacity, to do multiple things. Because I know that inside of me, I have an as long as it takes prayer. I have an as long as it takes attitude. So when things are difficult for me, I've made a commitment to El Cajon. I've made a commitment to East County. And I'm saying, God, as long as it takes, I'm going to increase my capacity. I'm going to increase what I can do. I'm going to increase the voice, the things I speak, so that I can see heaven take over every corner of this area. I'm going to wait, and I'm going to push, and I'm going to plow as long as it takes until homelessness is eradicated, until drugs are eradicated, until this place reflects heaven. El Cajon is going to be nicer than La Jolla. El Cajon is going to be nicer than Coronado. because we have leaders like Michael and Lisa who choose to be obedient. And I'm going to partner with them to make sure that heaven comes to every corner, to make sure that every person hears the word of God, that every person is able to step into the atmosphere of God and see life transformation. And that's all I have to say about that. Point number three, Jesus wants to resurrect our purpose. I kind of shared about some of our resurrected purpose. But in this verse that I read, the disciples had lost their purpose. Their initial purpose was to learn from Jesus. Peter was told he was going to be the rock that the church was going to be built upon. He was told that he was going to be the leader. And yet he denied Jesus three times. He was like, now what do I do? I failed God. I failed everything. I've lost my purpose. I'm going to go fishing. I'm actually going to go back to the last place that Jesus told me to go. Jesus told him to go to Galilee after he rose. And I believe Peter went there just saying, God, I need purpose again. I need revelation for my life. I don't know what to do next. I have a lack of direction. And then when he got into the presence of God, Jesus took care of that and resurrected the dreams that he had inside of him. Jesus told Peter, feed my lambs. Take care of my sheep. Feed my sheep. Follow me. I'm going to resurrect that purpose of being the rock that I'm building my church on. I'm going to resurrect you being the one who's going to change everything. And within a month, Peter went from fishing because he didn't know what else to do to preaching the very first message about Jesus, to having 2,000 salvations on his very first preach. After fishing, having no clue what he was going to do, he's now standing in front of everyone preaching that Jesus died for our sins, that we have more than where we're at. And when he stood there and shared, thousands and thousands came to Jesus, and the church grew, and it's grown exponentially ever since. It's grown at a rapid rate, so much so that we get to live in America, one nation under God, a place that was founded as a place that we get to live in the rules and the principles of God. But it's up to us to fight to keep that. It's up to us to choose to bring heaven even when it's uncomfortable. It's amazing what can happen 30 days from now by choosing to allow Jesus to resurrect your purpose, your passion, who you are. Actually, I want everyone to close your eyes right now. I want you to ask Jesus to resurrect your purpose, to get a vision of what can happen 30 days from this very moment. You hear the rain come down. The rain of heaven is coming down in this room, and purpose is being resurrected right now, not because of the words I'm saying, but because of the goodness of God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for the rain pouring down in this room. Amen. Also want to talk about failure. Sometimes we fail at things, and we wear that badge. We wear that badge of loss. We wear a badge of like, oh, I couldn't live up to what I thought. I thought this person was going to get healed, and I prayed, and I believed, and it didn't happen. Oh, I thought that Jesus told me to do this and I failed. It went the opposite way that I was expecting. What happened? And we wear this badge of failure, but I can tell you right now that your failure isn't failure. God allows us to go through these battles, not for victory. And actually, on that note, I want us to start changing the prayer, not for victory, because victory has already happened, but pray for the revelation of the victory, because the whole purpose of a battle is to get a revelation of your identity in Christ. The whole purpose of a battle is for you to understand who you are in God, what God has created you to do. That purpose comes through this identity, through this revelation. That purpose comes through battle. If you're not in a battle, which I think most of us are, right, you're not going to get a revelation of how to overcome. And I think that's where complacency becomes the cancer. Because if you're not battling, There is no identity. If you're not battling, you don't understand who you are in Christ. But when those around you are on their deathbed and they're gonna lose a finger or something's gonna happen and you say, no, I'm gonna stand against that. And God is about, hey, this is your identity. This is who I've created you to be. Once you understand, things shift. Battles are for revelation of your identity. So thank you, Jesus, for the resurrection of revelation in our life. We also walk through our biggest fears sometimes. We'll have fears of, like, what if? What if I lost my job? What if I lost my house? What if everything that I've been pouring into goes the wrong direction? Jesus will hold our hands through those times and walk us through the valley of the shadow of death. Not because he wants us to experience pain, but because he wants to remove the power of the fear. Like, we walk in fear of the shadow of death. When Jesus is saying, hey, you don't have to fear that. You know what? I'm going to hold your hand. We're going to walk through this together so that you know that you're okay. So you can't carry it anymore. So that fear has no grip on you. It can't cripple you anymore. So that you can step into the purpose that God has for you. So you can step into that calling. You can't step in sometimes when that fear is speaking. And sometimes only way that we can remove fear is to experience. Sometimes the only way we can remove the power of something is to walk through it. And then we walk through it, and now we become overcomers. And now the devil has no hold on us because the power of our testimony of the overcoming pushes him back into the grave. It kicks him back into hell. It removes him out of the place. Overcoming is the identity of El Cajon. We're overcoming poverty. We're overcoming homelessness. We're overcoming fentanyl. We're overcoming alcoholism. And it has, actually, we're overcoming divorce. We're overcoming broken families. And this is going to play a place where that has no grip, has no hold, and you're not going to see it anymore. Because when it has no grip, it has no voice. When it has no voice, it can't even enter in. We're friends with Jesus Christ. When we accept him as our Lord and Savior, we become friends, which means we can have discussions with him, which means that we get to have communication, that communication becomes revelation. We're not slaves to Jesus Christ. We're not slaves to God. We give ourselves. We say, we're yours, and he said, you're my friend. Let me tell you what I'm about to do. We get to live a life of purpose and revelation because of who he is and what he's done. And if you feel yourself here today that you feel like you've just been kind of on a hamster wheel, we're going to open up the altars for prayer after. And it's important that you come forth and ask Jesus for the resurrection of those things. Point number four, relationship. Jesus wants to resurrect our relationships. This is an internal transformation. But really, it needs to start with our relationship with him. I just talked about how we're friends, but not all of us live that way. Not all of us talk to God that way. We say, God, will you please? We say, hey, God, will you do this? Is it possible for you to do this for me? Instead of approaching him like you would a friend. Hey, can I borrow your car? Hey, Pastor Michael, can I borrow your car? I think he says yes, yeah, if I fix it. But it's different. It's a different conversation. It's a different prayer. But it starts with this resurrection of the relationship. And I truly believe that's why Peter jumped out of the boat. The second John said, it's the Lord, Peter is like, I have to restore this relationship. This might be my only opportunity to restore what I've broken, what I have failed at. I need to swim into his presence. I need to put on my cloak because I still feel ashamed of what I did, but I need to run into his presence because I know in his presence that things can be restored, that I know as I walk into his presence that miracles can happen, that I can see things differently, that I could get a breath of heaven and not be the same person that I just was. Luke 22:31 says, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift each of you like wheat. But I have pleaded in prayer for you, Simon, that your faith should not fail, so that when you have repented and turned to me again, strengthen your brothers. Jesus told Peter that he wasn't a failure before Peter felt like he failed. Jesus is like, hey, I prayed that you're not going to fail. You're going to repent and come back to me. So the times in our life when we're feeling like we're failures, we're feeling like we've messed up, we've screwed up, and we're going the wrong direction, you're not a failure. The absolute key at that point is repenting and turning back to Jesus. Turning back to the one who already called you out from the beginning. And it's to strengthen those around you. He has grace for those failures. And I have a little experiment here. If, in case you're wondering why I have this on here, it wasn't for ambience. It kind of doesn't look, something like that. But I want to show you what this looks like. I want to show you what these points look like. The world around us can be on fire. The world around us, El Cajon, can feel like it's on fire. What we see on the news, what we see on social media. Well, this fire, see, we're in the house of God, so fire doesn't want to light. The world around us could feel like fire. But when we come to Jesus and we say, you know what, Jesus, I repent. I receive your blood back into me. He goes in and he pours his blood into you, and you'll see an atmosphere change. You'll feel something different. All of a sudden, there's a bubbling up of joy. All of a sudden, there's a bubbling up of expectation of what could happen. The internal atmosphere is changing. And what happens when the internal atmosphere is changing? What comes out is different. So no longer is it just air that flows out, but something new. You may not be able to see what I poured, but it doesn't mean it's not different. The flame is there to be extinguished. When we allow Jesus on the inside, he resurrects what's on the inside. You're going to feel something different. You're going to start hearing his voice. And the next thing you know is that where you're able to pour out, puts out the flames of the enemies. It's able to put out the flames of what he's doing here. You're going to be able to pray for those and see Jesus come back in and put out the flame of what the enemy is doing. You're going to see Jesus come in and break that addiction, to bring that healing, to bring that freedom, so you don't have to suffer and struggle with what you struggled for anymore. We serve a God who's given you a new life if you're willing to allow him to resurrect that relationship. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm going to give you guys an opportunity to ask Jesus to resurrect that relationship. And if that's you here today, and you say, Jesus, I've lost my purpose. I don't have that atmosphere that I want. My capacity feels empty. I want to resurrect that relationship first. Raise your hand, and we're going to pray. Thank you right there. Thank you right there. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you with your hands raised. Thank you over there. Thank you, thank you. Thank you right there. Thank you right there. Thank you, thank you. Thank you with your hands raised. Thank you. This isn't about a thank you right there. This isn't about a thing to do. It's about you and him. And saying, Jesus, I thank you for just resurrecting our conversations. I've been too busy that I've been pushing you aside. That's a word for somebody. Someone's been too busy and been putting their relationships on back burner. But today is the day of resurrection, to those relationships with him. Thank you, Jesus. Actually, I'm going to do something different right now. If you want to see resurrection power in any of those four areas, I want you to do what Peter did and run to his presence. I want you just to come down to the front right now. Don't worry about what others think, what others are doing. I want you to come forth, and we're going to pray. We're going to see a song, and you're going to see resurrection power show up in your life. Peter became the rock that Jesus built his church on because he ran after the repair of that relationship. This isn't about what other people think. It's about getting into his presence and seeing him, allowing him to resurrect what he's done. And as we pray, don't stay in your seat. Don't stay in the boat. Allow Jesus to come forth in you to reignite that purpose, to reignite what he has called you to do. But let's all pray. Lord Jesus, you guys can repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I repent of my sin and ask for your forgiveness. Please come into my heart as my Lord and Savior. I give you permission to resurrect our relationship, my purpose, my capacity, and my atmosphere. Take complete control of my life and help me walk in your ways by the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' mighty name, amen, amen. Let's put a hand together for everyone who made this commitment. And what I want is, if you didn't come forward, I want you to still feel like you can come forward. And before we pray and we open up for the ministers, this is about you and Jesus first. And I want you to, as we sing this worship song, close your eyes and imagine yourself. I want you to imagine Jesus grabbing you by the hand and welcoming you back in, pulling you back into his relationship, pulling you back into his presence. When we sing this song, close your eyes and see Jesus grabbing you and pulling you back in, and watch what he's about to do.
Wow, what an amazing word. I hope you enjoyed that as much as I did. Hey, listen, for more information about our church, go to www.awakenchurch.com or subscribe to our YouTube channel if you haven't already, and download our app. It is amazing. It is chock full of incredible messages, information about upcoming events, and you can even support our ministry if you feel so inclined. We loved having you with us today. We look forward to seeing you again. God bless you. Live a life that is transformative. Bye for now.